Romans chapter 12, and verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honour preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to read thy word. Ask for your blessing, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'd be pleased to open up your word to us this day, and the truth that you'd have us, Lord, share, and Lord, that Spirit of God would have liberty in our midst and the Word of God would have free course. And Father, that our desire would be for your will to be done in each of our hearts and lives, Lord, not the person next to me, but in my own life, Lord, may thy will be done. As we could say, as the Lord Jesus did in the garden of Gethsemane, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So we commit ourselves to you now and look forward to how you're going to bless our time. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a great chapter in the scriptures, and many thoughts as we read through there come to mind. And he speaks there in verse 4 about the members of the body, how a church is a living organism and it's made up of people. The church is not the building. This is not a church, this building. It's merely a meeting place that we meet in. The church is the members, and all the members have not the same office, but there's different members, each one having different talents and different abilities and things that God has given, different gifts to be able to exercise them. And one of the reasons why so many churches today are struggling is because the members of the body are not joined one to another, and they're not meeting together. They're not in fellowship and united in the Lord. And so we've got today across the land, the Lord alone knows, but there'll be people today who have been saved, but they're not in any church right now. And they are, as it were, members that are cut off from the body. They're still saved and they're still going to be in heaven one day when they die, but they're not fulfilling the scriptural mandate to be fellowshipping and to be ministering one to another and encourage one another. So he talks of the different gifts. You go down there and he says in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. We're to hate that which is evil. We're not to be sort of lukewarm about that. We're not to be, well, you know, I don't mind. We are to abhor. The idea is to hate with a passion that which is evil. Plenty of things in this world today we could hate. Evil is running rampant across the land. But then he says, be kindly affection one to another. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. In honour, preferring one another. That's how the body gets on well, when we prefer one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. And so many things there we could take a lot of time on this morning. But I want to come back to the opening verses, which are no doubt very familiar, and oftentimes we've memorized, or at least tried to memorize them. But I believe they're very critical verses, because on much of our Christian life will hinge whether we have been obedient to these first two verses. Whether we're going to be walking with the Lord and enjoying all God's blessings will depend very much on these first two verses and our response to them. And so Paul starts out, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He says therefore because of what's already taken place. In Romans chapter 1 right through here to chapter 12, Paul has been tracing the fall of man. He shows that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. That there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seek after God. There is none on planet Earth today who are good. Many people would claim to be good people. Many people would claim to be nice people and all that, but the Bible says that there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Paul traces that down there through chapters 1 and 2 and 3 in Romans, and chapters 4 and 5, and in chapter 6 he tells us there is a wage of sin which is death. And there's a penalty for sin. Now all have sinned, and so all face the penalty of sin. And then he says the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus. And so the way for the sinner to have his sins forgiven is to receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through the Lord Jesus. That time when the individual comes to a place of repentance, realizing their life does not measure up to God's standard, realizing they're not a good person by God's definition, realizing they truly are a sinner before God, and turning to God and believing that the Lord Jesus died on the cross, that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, believing that he rose again the third day physically and bodily, and at that point they become a child of God. And so chapter 6 deals with that now as a believer, we're to yield ourselves to God. Chapter 7 deals with the struggles that we have in the Christian life, and the good that I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do, Paul says. Oftentimes it's a struggle, but he says, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 8, he traces many of the blessings. And then chapter 9, 10 and 11, he deals with the church in Israel and how Israel has been set aside for the time being until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in chapter 11. He said, then Israel will be grafted back in and all Israel shall be saved in a day at that time. And so he picks it up here now. Therefore, in other words, because of all that I've written, because of the great salvation in Christ, because of all that, he says, therefore, I beseech you, the idea is I beg of you, please, Paul says, given all that's happened, I beg of you, brethren. Notice he talks here, you brethren. He's not talking to people who do not know the Lord Jesus. He is talking to those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. And he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, In other words, God in his mercy gives us this opportunity, this invitation. Paul says, here's the invitation from God. This is what I beseech you. This is what I beg of you to take note of. God in his mercies is saying to you, you need to present your body a living sacrifice. And the word present has the idea of I put it in place, or I put it at someone else's disposal. I take my body, as it were, and I stand before God and I say, God, here I am. I am at your disposal. I give myself to you. I present myself, my body, to you. That's what Paul has in mind. Present your body, a living sacrifice. Now, we know throughout the Old Testament, starting right back in the book of Genesis, when God sacrificed an animal so that he might clothe Adam and Eve. Remember, Adam and Eve had disobeyed God and they'd eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result of that, death came into the world. And so death passed upon all men for all of sin. And God killed an animal, a sacrifice, and he clothed Adam and Eve with those skins because they knew that they were naked. And God said, you need now some clothing. He was not only talking about physical clothing, and he was doing that, and would to God a few people would get a hold of that in our country today. But he was also talking about the righteousness that we are clothed upon that comes through the Lord Jesus. And we know in the book of Revelation, down the other end, they're there with their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, the righteousness of Christ, which is ours when we get saved. But from right down there, when Abel then comes and offers the lamb, which was acceptable unto God, a sacrifice acceptable unto God, a sacrifice picturing the Lord Jesus Christ who is coming. And down through the Old Testament, the priests would offer the lambs and the goats and all the other sacrifices would be offered to God. But they were only a picture of that which was to come, the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul says to believers, we are now to offer ourselves a living sacrifice. We are to come and present ourselves. It's a definite commitment that we offer ourselves. We get saved by grace through faith, and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing that I can do to save myself. But now that I'm saved, God's invitation comes out to me and says, now what I want you to do is to present your body a living sacrifice. And we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 where Paul says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Wherefore glorify God in your body and spirit which are God's. And so Paul says, now this body, which does not even belong to you anymore, it's been bought with a price. God says, now you need to present that body back to me as a living sacrifice. And God is amazing in his mercies and grace and his long-suffering to us. He doesn't come, does he, and twist our arm and do all that. He wants us to willingly choose to do this. He could make us like robots and press a button and from now on we walk around as a Christian and I do everything that God wants me to do because I'm programmed to do that. No, God says, I want you now because of what? Well, he said, because of all. Remember, all that I've already written right through here in Romans chapter 1 to chapter 12. He said, I want you now to present your bodies a living sacrifice. I want you to come, and the word holy has the idea of set apart. I want you to set apart your body for me to use you as a vessel unto honor. And so we think about the Lord Jesus. He gave his body to die for us on the cross, a sacrifice. Now, we are to give our bodies to live for him. He gave his body to die for us. We now in return give our body to him as a living sacrifice to live for him. Again, in the Old Testament, the animals were slain and placed upon the altar. Now we are to put ourselves on the altar of God. But we are a living sacrifice. All right, we're not a dead sacrifice, although sometimes I wonder at some people, but nevertheless, we are to be living sacrifices. And the way to live in the Christian life is to die. You say, what do you mean? Well, have a look in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, the Lord Jesus is giving some instruction here. In verse 23, the Lord Jesus says to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." All right, he says, here's the principle. We take up the cross, we deny ourselves. We present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. You say, the sacrifice is the way of death. That's right. It's the way of death. It's the way of saying, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, I'm not interested anymore in my ambitions. I'm not interested in anything that I would like to do, except I have your will and your blessing upon that. And so I present myself a living sacrifice. I deny myself and take up my cross. Now, my cross speaks of what? Death. Death, a living sacrifice. I am to present myself as a living sacrifice. And so the principle is that life, true spiritual life and a walk with God, comes out of death to self. Okay? I die to myself. I present myself a living sacrifice, as Paul tells us to do. So we come back to Romans 12. He says this is to be a presentation that you make to God, which is a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God. In other words, it's pleasing to God. God is well pleased. God approves when we do that. So this morning you say, well, I don't know I've ever done that in my life. Okay, here's what you do. You come to God and you say, God, here I am. I present my body a living sacrifice. I'm not sure all that means right now, but I present my body a living sacrifice. And God said, that is good. That meets with my approval. I am pleased with that. It is something which is holy and acceptable unto God. And then Paul goes on to encourage them and says in the end of that verse there, which is your reasonable service. You know, sometimes, I don't know what it is, but we kind of get this idea, you know, the Christian life's too hard and it's costly and, boy, I don't know whether I want to do it. I'd rather be out there in the world having fun, and I'd rather do this and I'd rather do that and I'd rather do something else. But think about it. It's reasonable. Reasonable. If I could just get this across somehow. It's reasonable that I present my body a living sacrifice to God. After all that the Lord has done for me, he's presented his body and allowed them to spit upon it and to beat him and to do everything else, allowed the Father to place my sin, take my penalty, and then I dare to live my own life my own way. It's hard to believe. Hard to believe. Paul said, this is reasonable. This is reasonable when you think about it. It's like, you know, we could talk about, let's look at this logically. Let's look at this, what would be a reasonable thing. If someone died for you to save your life, it would be reasonable to try and express that, wouldn't it? If you were out there at sea and your boat had just sunk and then someone came along and they pulled you out of the water and they brought you back to land and did all that, it's probably unlikely that you would just jump out of their boat, jump onto the beach and walk away without a word of thanks. Unlikely, could happen. It would be reasonable for you to say, now what can I do to repay? I'm so thankful for saving my life, and I'm so thankful that you were able to help me, and is there some way I can repay you? Is there something that I can do? Now, that's a very small picture of what the Lord has done for us. The Lord has given us eternal life. Our sins are forgiven. We have one day a home in heaven. We're going to be with the Lord, yet we can sit around and smirk and laugh and think it's a joke almost. And that's pathetic. You know, it's reasonable after what the Lord has done for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice to him and say, Lord, here I am, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, when we present our bodies, what are we doing? Presenting all of us. Here's my feet, Lord. I want my feet to go in the direction you want them to go in. Remember, Romans 10 talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who carry the message of the gospel. How many of us use our feet in that way to get the gospel? What's our primary use? Well, to walk around. In what way? When I present my body, I'm presenting my hands to the Lord. Say, Lord, here's my hands. I want you to use them for your glory. Lord, here's my ears. I'm going to present them. They're part of my body. I present them to you so that what I listen to is going to be honoring and pleasing to you. Here's my eyes, Lord, and I only want to look at that which is honoring to you. I only want to see people as lost and in need of a Savior. Lord, I want my eyes to be like the eyes of Christ. I present my body. I present my brain so that the things that I think about are honoring to the Lord. I present my body a living sacrifice. And then in verse 2 he says, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. It's impossible to be conformed to the world if you truly present your body a living sacrifice and leave it on the altar. That's one of the problems we have. We present our body a living sacrifice. We hear a message like this and we say, yes, this is reasonable. This is what I should do. I am saved. I know I'm saved. I know Christ is my Savior. I know if I were to die now, I would go to heaven. And so it's reasonable for me to present my body and say, Lord, here I am. Use me as you will. It's reasonable to do that. And so if we were to give an altar call, then some would come to the front maybe and give their life to the Lord and present their body and say, Lord, here I am. I yield myself. I give you my body, my hands, my feet, my eyes, my tongue, my ear, everything I give to you. Use me as you will. So far, so good. It's reasonable to do that. But then what happens? Day, week later, back in the old routine again. Now I want to touch on that in a minute in closing about how to deal with that. And so he says, be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Don't allow the world to mold you. Don't allow the world's philosophies and ideas to mold your thinking and mold the way you live. Don't allow that. Don't be conformed to the world and all the things that the world has. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. I know we keep saying it and saying it. Until you saturate your mind with the Word of God, you're going to be constantly in trouble. Struggling with the pressures and the things of this world, because you'll have nothing there to be able to put up that shield of faith whereby you can quench those fiery darts of the wicked. And so you'll get defeated, and then what you'll do is you'll give up. That's it. I've had it. I've tried to live the Christian life. It doesn't work, and so I'm going to just live with the facade of making out I'm a Christian, the rest of the time I'll do my own thing and have fun. Well, you haven't allowed your mind to be transformed. You know, the idea of transforming, it's this idea of where you have this, the moth that sits within, or the butterfly sits within that little pupa, and it breaks out, and there's that whole new creature flying around now. That's the idea. That we're transformed, we are metamorphosed, we have become this new person now. Our body is owned by God, by purchase, and then by gift we give it to him. be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. The idea of proving is that you test for yourself and know. Now, how many Christians, you know, they struggle to know the will of God? Well, because they haven't really followed the first part of the chapter. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Only one way you're going to find that is to present your body a living sacrifice. To hand over your life to God and say, here I am, I'm yours, Lord. Use me as you will. Remember the Apostle Paul. I believe he did that on the road to Damascus when the Lord Jesus appeared to him and he said, Lord, what will they have me to do? And from that day he lived with that in mind, that truth in mind. Lord, here I am, what would you have me to do? Presented his body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now, as I've said, oftentimes we can do this, but then something goes wrong. So let me put it this way. First of all, there is a once-off offering of ourselves. We come to this place, we know we're saved, we've trusted Christ as our Saviour, as I already said, we've repented, we've believed on the Lord Jesus, we've tasted of forgiveness, we've tasted the joy of sins forgiven, we have the assurance in our heart, the Spirit bearing testimony to our spirit that we're a child of God, we're enjoying that, and then God comes now and challenges us, now, what I want you to do is to present your body, give back that which I bought with a price, give it willfully back to me. And so we maybe struggle about that, or maybe not. We just say, oh Lord, here I am. I present my body a living sacrifice. Please take me and use me as you will. We do that once. And with the Old Testament sacrifices, they were done once, weren't they? But guess what? They also offered sacrifices daily. They offered one today. That's a dead one. They offer another one tomorrow. And another one, another one, another. Every day they were offering sacrifices to God. Now, for you and I, if you remember what the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, he said, how often do you take up your cross? Daily. So the reason why oftentimes we struggle and we give up on this truth is because we come, we get down the front, we pray, we ask God to take our body and use us and do all that. But we forget we need to do that daily as well. We need to do it daily, and so we maybe go to a camp and we're all stirred up and fired up and we've enjoyed the preaching and boy, we're just going to live for God now. This is going to be wonderful. And a month later, nobody would ever know you've been to the camp. Wouldn't have a clue you've been to any camp and got blessed. Because why? Because you haven't daily offered yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Take up your cross daily. You have to do it daily, not just once off. You have to do it once off. You have to start by offering your body, but then you have to do it daily. And let me tell you, if you don't do it daily, you will be defeated and you will not enjoy God's blessing. You will not know the blessings of walking in that which is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You won't know it. Just mark it down. And so we go to these camps, we listen to a CD, we listen to a message, whatever it is, and then maybe for a week or two, things are pretty good, but then, bang, crash, we're down. Why? Because we're not daily presenting ourselves. You know, each day, every day in my time with the Lord, one of the things I do is just what Romans 12 says to do. Each day I say, Lord, here I am. I present myself to you. Lord, my thoughts, my words, and my actions I present to you. Lord, I don't know exactly what that means. I do not understand where that will take me today or what it might or might not seem to cost, but Lord, I do it each day. It's what you need to do. Take up your cross daily. Present your body as a living sacrifice and then daily present yourself to the Lord. And then what will happen? Well, you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And not only that, you will prove, you will know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I mean, how good's that? On a daily basis to know that I am in that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So how do you know that? Present your body as a living sacrifice to God. And do it each day. And that doesn't mean you have to rush off overseas as a missionary, and may God raise some up for that. But it just means that here I am, Lord, it's not my will but thy will to be done. And it may be I'm washing the dishes for the glory of God, amen? It may be I'm just eating for the glory of God. But my body has been given to him, and he takes and uses that, and I know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want you to think about it this morning. Are you saved, first of all? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure your sins are forgiven? Do you know for sure if you were to die now you'd go to heaven? If you don't, then you've got no hope of living the Christian life because you can't do it. But even if you know for sure you're saved, have you come to that place where you have presented your body as a living sacrifice? You say, I've done that, but ever since then I've struggled and struggled. Let me ask you, do you do it daily? Do you take up your cross daily? Because if you don't, there's your problem right there. And until you get a hold of that and come each day, and don't do it at the end of the day if you can avoid it. It's kind of a bit late then. You know, I've just lived all day and I come to the end of the day, I'm about to go to bed and say, God, I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is my reasonable service. Well, that's very good. And so all night you're sleeping to the glory of God. Then you get up in the morning, just go and live your life, and then at the end of the day you say, Lord, I present my body a living sacrifice, and you wonder why you're getting nowhere. Try it earlier in the day, amen? But do it daily. Take up your cross daily, that you might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you and we bless you for the word of God, and we thank you for the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. In all things, he is our example. He is the one who presented his body to the Father that he might be nailed to the cross, that his body might be made and he might be made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And how we thank you for our Lord Jesus. We thank you for his, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, his prayer. And Lord, we read this morning once again in this book of Romans that Paul exhorts us and beseeches us to present our bodies, not to die in that sense, but as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here this morning who's never done that, Lord, first of all, if they're not saved, that they would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus. But maybe someone this morning who's saved, they need to come and present their bodies a living sacrifice to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Here I am, Lord, all of me. I've been bought with a price and I present my body back to you. And maybe you've done that, but you're still struggling. Let me suggest to you, you need to do it again today, present your body to the Lord, and then do it every day from now on, that you might know is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Father, you know the hearts of everyone here this morning. You know the needs. Lord, I'm not planning to give any particular invitation, but Lord, I pray that you would work out in the hearts and lives of each and every one of this great truth, Lord, that we might each and every one know that is good and that acceptable and perfect will of God, that we might in so doing, Lord, bring much glory and honour to thy name, which in the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.